Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a very special Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. Just had a small earthquake. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Joy Taylor, I don't know if you noticed that. I was in my dressing room and I thought the custodial service people bumped into my door. Hit a small earthquake.
I must have missed that. I was busy just enjoying this beautiful morning.
Beautiful.
I don't know what it is. I just feel new and renewed and different.
I know. Same here. Like a fresh start.
It's like, you know, I got my Madam Vice President blazer on. I'm ready to go. We got a nice little celebration. Now get to work.
Let's get to work.
A lot to be done.
So I want to start the show this morning. We talk about New Year's resolutions, and I've never had this as a New Year's resolution. I probably should have, and it's something I fail at quite regularly. I fail at this, being grateful. You know, I look at my life, and I look at my parents, and as I age, as I get older, I'm more grateful for what I had, and I didn't realize it. Wasn't a perfect life, but I think for me, I fail at that. Just understand it could have been far bumpier with far more turbulence. And Philip Rivers announced he's retiring. Chargers forever, 1 year Colts. And I don't think there's anything in American sports that signifies grateful more than, or certainly in that class, where you land in the NFL is about 80% of it. A high school quarterback in America has more power than an NFL quarterback. He gets to decide where he goes to college. A college quarterback has more power than an NFL quarterback. If he makes his decision, he could transfer. But in the NFL, you get drafted, it will be years, because they can franchise tag you, before you can leave. Philip Rivers was drafted the same year as Eli Manning. Eli's got two rings. As Big Ben. Big Ben's got two rings. They'll be first ballot Hall of Famers. Philip Rivers has one conference championship. He did have five coaches, though. One of them fired after he went 14-2. Consider that Philip Rivers has more yards passing than Big Ben and Eli. More touchdown passes than Big Ben and Eli. More completions than Big Ben and Eli. A higher quarterback rating than Big Ben or Eli. He's got more wins than Eli. His winning percentage, 134-106. Eli won 117 games, lost the same number. The only knock on Philip Rivers, you know, he wasn't very effective in the playoffs. He had five head coaches. His franchise moved. And a coach that was 14-2 was fired. You have more power in football as a high school and college quarterback. This is why I question whether Joe Burrow will be a big success. It's not on Joe Burrow. It's on the Bengals. Go look at Matt Stafford's career and Carson Palmer and consider what happens if they're drafted by the Steelers or the well-run Packers or the well-run Saints. Matt Stafford may finish his career in Detroit without a single playoff win. It's why I said if I was Joe Burrow, I would have pushed back on being drafted by the Bengals. It's why if I was Trevor Lawrence and the Jags would have hired Dan Campbell as a head coach and not Urban, I would have pushed back on going there. Philip Rivers should get into the Hall of Fame. Look at his numbers. Look what he had to overcome. It's remarkable. When I said he has more touchdown passes than Eli and Big Ben, your first reaction was what? He does? Five coaches, franchise moved, 14-2 coach, Marty Schottenheimer fired. Sometimes, instead of complaining, you got to look around and go, my parents weren't that bad. My sister annoyed me, but she wasn't bad. The reality is, Philip Rivers' career, had he had elite from day one, coaching, offensive lines, ownership, and stability, he would be the Hall of Famer. And Eli and Ben would probably be on the outside looking in. By the way, the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. We're getting free ones today in 1 hour. Deshaun Watson, yesterday on social media, quarterback for the Houston Texans, said, listen, I've got to show more patience. And I thought to myself, actually, considering he's like young, I mean, I'm older and lack patience. He's showing incredible restraint, and I'll prove it to you. Because he has not yet come out and said, trade me. That's kind of the line that you, once you cross that, you can't go back, right? Trade me. So he hasn't gone there yet. Pro Football Focus grades every snap of the season. Every single one for every player. They grade everyone. I rely on them for offensive line discussions because I don't watch guards play. Quarterbacks, receivers, backs. Here are the highest graded quarterbacks in the league. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson. So four of them are in the conference championships. Deshaun Watson's team went 4-12. Ask yourself this. How bad do you have to be around Deshaun Watson to go 4-12? Consider this. The Bengals had a better record than the Texans using Joe Burrow, Ryan Finley, and Brandon Allen. The Broncos went 5-11, better than Deshaun Watson, with Drew Locke, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, and Kendall Hinton. How poorly is Houston run? Well, at least they've got some good draft picks. No, they don't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick this year. Well, at least, hey, they can go buy some good players. They've got cap space. No, they're $18 million over the cap. Okay, okay, okay. They've got a good coach. No, by the end of the day, they'll be the only NFL team that doesn't have a coach. But they do have a pastor running their football franchise. Folks, it's incredibly difficult to be really talented and have to work with stiffs. That's his life. And you get one shot at this thing. We all get one shot. I'm not into reincarnation. You get one shot. I think he's showing incredible restraint. I'm going to give you a stat, and you're not going to believe it. Because I didn't when my team gave it to me this morning. Richard Sherman of the Niners was quoted this week saying, if I was him, I'd get out of there as quickly as possible. I'd head to New York. In Houston's losses this year, not their games, in their 12 losses, Deshaun Watson's passer rating was 108.9. That's second in the NFL to Aaron Rodgers. For the people saying, whoa, and I'm not a big fan of guys demanding trades. In Houston, James Harden, I believe, was given really solid support. They tried to make stuff work. James was the issue. With Deshaun Watson, battle line, instability, trading away players, DeAndre Hopkins is gone. In his losses, his quarterback rating was second in the NFL to Aaron Rodgers. I think he's showing absolutely incredible restraint. All right, Kyrie Irving comes back tonight. It is a special day in America. Okay, whatever you think politically, it's just feel like some of the anxiety. How about I say that? That's not a partisan. Just feel like summarily the country's.
That's fair.
It's fair, right? Like I just feel like that wasn't an earthquake. It was the country exhaling, and it just moved everything just a little bit. So I will say this on the Indianapolis Colts. You know, generally, if you have a coaching opening, you're taking over a bad team. It's very rare when, the Packers have a coaching opening. Matt LaFleur gets it, and he's done very, very well because it was a really good team. The Indianapolis Colts now are looking for a quarterback. Just think about this. Now that Philip Rivers retired, GM, great. Coach, very good. O-line, great. Running back, Jonathan Taylor, great. Young receiver, Michael Pittman, very good. GM, excellent. Division winnable. They don't have a quarterback. I mean, if I was Matt Stafford or Carson Wentz or Sam Darnold, I'm not saying you work for free, but if I'm Carson Wentz, I'd be like, okay, let's work on my contract. let's start this thing over. That quarterback opening for the Colts, that is as good as Green Bay. That's as good as Green Bay's coaching opening a year ago. You get Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, top five offensive line. That was an unbelievable coaching opening that Matt LaFleur got. This quarterback opening is the quarterback version of it. My God. Phillip Rivers is the most unathletic quarterback in the league. Against the Bills, he had 480 yards. I mean, he didn't get touched. He had all day to throw. He may have gotten into Bills' territory on every single drive. And he moves about as well as that chair. Coming up next, Kyrie Irving returns. Thoughts on that coming up. Plus, Nick Wright joins me today. He lost the bet, the big payoff. The big payoff coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
After what he called a pause, Kyrie Irving is returning for Brooklyn tonight. I do think it is substantial because I believe Kevin Durant and James Harden would get to the finals if they traded Kyrie for just some top defenders. That's how highly I think of Harden and KD as offensive players. A couple nights ago, they played Milwaukee, who's got all the coaching and it's got all the culture, and they've been together for years. And at the end of the game, their stars couldn't hit shots. KD and Harden did. They won the game. That's probably who they'd meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. So Kyrie talked about returning, his absence, and so forth yesterday.
My commitment has always been to bring in something special to Brooklyn. And it wasn't just a championship. It was unity. It was equality. It was just bigger things than just the game itself. For me, I'm just taking every day, just being grateful, but for the casual or the fanatic, it's part of our culture. And, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces and we just move on.
If I'm going to make a big decision in life, I tend to like examples, right? Big decision. Has this ever worked before? And if you say, yeah, here's four or five examples, I'm like, okay, I'll make the big decision. In the history of the NBA, I'll give you the history of it. You can Google it if you weren't around. Give me one example of a star player who was injury prone, hard to coach, and needy slash difficult, who suddenly at the midway point became a joy to coach, a mature team leader, and never got hurt again. I'm not asking for eight examples. Throw me a bone. One I'll take. Kyrie couldn't mesh with LeBron. It's funny. Wade, Bosch, Kevin Love, Anthony Davis, Rondo all did. J.R. Smith did. He couldn't mesh with LeBron. He couldn't mesh with Brad Stevens. Six games in, he needed a pause from Kevin Durant. As Maya Angelou said, people show you who they are. Believe them the first time. Kevin Durant is actually telling you a lot in the last five games without Kyrie. Have you watched? I have. They're 4-1, 34 a game, 57% from the field, 52 from threes. I believe Harden and KD win the East. They beat a Milwaukee because they make shots with 2.5 minutes to go in the game like the other night. I believe you can move Kyrie, get solid pieces, a bench guy, some defenders. That's what you need. I don't think defensively Harden KD can win. They need help there. But just give me one example of where somebody with Kyrie's resume, injuries, hard to coach, difficult, has turned it around. I couldn't think of any. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Colin, it's official.
What?
The Lions have announced Dan Campbell as their next head coach.
Something else is official.
Lions hire ever.
Yeah, this is not one of those I would get behind. I would say most of the hires, at least you could argue Arthur Smith to Atlanta. I could, whether it works or not, you could make the argument for it. This one I can't.
Well, they're committing to him for a very long time.
What?
Because they gave him a 6-year deal in Detroit.
That's longer than our deal.
It's much longer.
So the Lions like Dan Campbell more than our bosses like us. Something is wrong.
He went 5-7 as a Dolphins interim head coach. The highest position he's held in the NFL besides interim head coach, is assistant head coach and tight ends coach with the Saints. He's never been a coordinator.
So not a huge fan of this move, Joy. I wouldn't say it's dismay. Now that Cleveland has righted the ship,
yes,
and I think they have. Cleveland, this is what we looked at and saw with you for 20 years when you would get defensive. All you Brown fans would get defensive. This is what you were. Hiring Freddie Kitchens, we were like...
Freddie Kitchens was actually the first person that came to my mind when this fire, this hire was made official.
Like, that's not a head coach.
It's not a head coach. And listen, it's not... I was in Miami when that happened. And listen, the rah-rah, like running through walls and like leader of men, like that's all great. And that works until you lose three straight games. And it's like, all right, why don't you just get in the lab and figure out what's actually going on here?
That's right.
Like, yes, you do need a certain level of
presence
yeah. and leadership. That, like, should go without saying, though. Like, that should just be who you are.
It's interesting, though. Now, he is now, I don't want to say, this sounds so harsh. He's kind of fooled two people. Like, two organizations have given him the nod. So there must be something he does in the interview process. I mean, he's a big physical guy.
I mean, look, like, we've seen this happen before. 6 years is a really long time to commit to someone who's never even been a coordinator. And I think the difference between Detroit fans and Browns fans is the Detroit fans, the Lions fans I know have just submitted to this lifestyle. Like, I love Detroit. So I would love to see the Lions actually be in the conversation. But if you look around that division, I mean, what about this hire inspires you to think that the next step is you're going to win the division? Look, we could be wrong, but I just feel like this is an incredible reach. And I didn't like what I was hearing from the organization to begin with. They want a motivator. They want a culture creator. Like, go get someone who's done that before then.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. So Patrick Mahomes is still in concussion protocol, but making positive steps ahead of Sunday's AFC Championship game. He will reportedly have a very light practice today, and his workload is expected to ramp up during the week. He will do some tolerance tests, but currently has no symptoms. So
He'll play.
That's good news.
I've had a lot of pushback on my zany hypothesis.
Yes.
That if he wasn't available till Monday, I would move the game. And everybody said that's crazy. Forget the fact the NBA changed their playoffs for Zion. But does the NFL ever move games to like Thursday night because it's good for television, though it's not good for the players?
Yeah.
What about this one? I'm doubling down. Let's say, I'll throw this out there. The protocol in the NFL said Patrick can play instead of 5:30 Kansas City time at 7:30. That's the protocol. Would
right.
you move the game back 2 hours?
Yes.
What if there was a traffic disturbance before the game with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? There was a massive traffic accident. None of the players were hurt, but six or seven Packers could not get to the stadium, and the fans couldn't get in the stadium at Lambeau because of a traffic disturbance. But they could if you delayed the game 45 minutes. Would you delay the game?
Yes.
Oh, so there's a precedent. You would push the game back for circumstances. Maybe my idea was genius.
Well, I think moving it to a whole other day
yes.
could possibly open some doors for debate moving forward if other team stars needed an extra day.
Yes, I guess you could see the world
but
that
I think,
way.
But I think you and I, we agree on a lot of things. And one thing we agree on is that
the
NFL
right.
is a business.
It's a television show.
And it's a television show.
That's why you flex your schedule to Sunday night where good teams
yeah.
get punished. Kansas City will get punished for the next 10 years. They'll force them to play Thursdays and Sunday nights. That's a disadvantage for preparation. It's not a health and safety measure. Why? Because they're great. So, I mean, like, the league's moved games to punish. It eventually punishes great,
it's
exciting
not sexy.
Teams.
It kind of takes away the authenticity yeah. of competition.
That's right.
But at the end, it's a television show.
That was
it's
a good
a great
argument.
Television show.
I was getting criticized. I didn't hear it.
I do think he's going to play, though.
Yes,
listening to Jay Glazer yesterday, because we were all kind of confused when he got hurt. Like, where is the
concussion.
Head impact? Like where did he hit his head?
Right.
And it looks like, and we are not doctors, we don't know, but Jay gave a really good explanation yesterday that maybe, perhaps, he just
choked out.
Got choked out for
yeah.
a second. And that's why he was so wobbly.
Yes.
And if that's the case, that may bode better for him playing because it wasn't an actual
concussion.
Listen,
all I know is this. Patrick Mahomes is good. I'm good. I'm going to watch the game now. Chips, guac, I'm watching the games.
Totally. Nachos. So Antonio Brown escaped a major injury after tweaking his knee in the Bucks win over the Saints on Sunday. He got an MRI that reportedly revealed no serious structural damage. He's considered day-to-day as the Bucks prepare for the Packers in the NFC Championship. He's not participating in the media access portion of today's practice.
All right.
He had one catch for 10 yards in the game this past weekend, but he did lead the Bucks with 33 targets in the last four regular season games. So he has become a favorite target of Tom Brady, who spread it around a lot.
He did. Cameron Brate.
Yes. Cameron Brate. Leonard Fournette actually led with receptions, with five receptions. Chris Godwin had four, and like pretty much everyone else just got one reception. So he is able to spread it around, distribute it, not rely on Antonio Brown, but obviously you'd feel more comfortable having what's become basically his favorite target out there. So he's day-to-day, and we'll keep an eye on it.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Nick Wright and I made a huge bet. We made a huge bet, and he said Buffalo wasn't going to win a playoff game. And I said they're going to end up in the AFC Championship. And he doesn't think they're any good. And now they're in the AFC Championship. And they may not beat Kansas City. Kansas City looked pretty good. Mahomes will play. Who knows? But he lost the bet, and he put it out there. He would do a Buffalo Bills celebration, mustard, ketchup. So he lost the bet, and I won the bet. So he's going to do that today. But before that, let's get to sports. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I'm feeling very good about myself and very dry, frankly. It is nice to win bets. It is great. You know what's great? It validates some of the genius that just I keep in the shelf, and then sometimes I unlock the shelf, and it comes right out.
In the shelf. This
guy. Let's start with this
just
one.
That's unbelievable. Hi, Colin.
Hello, Nick.
Yeah, hi.
Let me start with this. I love Deshaun Watson. I said, how bad do you have to be run to go 4-12 with like an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson? And if you look at the numbers this year, they were the same quarterback. How bad do you have to be? So yep. I think he's showing a restraint. Your takeaway on he has not said, trade me. That's the line. But he has inched right up to it. You covered him in Houston. You know, that's your background. Yep. Your thoughts on Deshaun, where he's going?
Well, I think the scariest team in the league, the only team that could go into next year as the favorites to win the Super Bowl, other than the Chiefs, when the Chiefs will obviously be two-time defending Super Bowl champions at that point, would be the San Francisco 49ers if they got Deshaun. Could you imagine Kyle Shanahan's offense? You get Bosa back. You get a lot of the players back from injury. George Kittle. And if you could have that type of quarterback in that offense, I think it would be the best team in the league by a decent margin.
Wow.
But I want to run something by you, Colin. Try to be an innovator here. I want to create a marketplace that does not currently exist in the NFL. Trades that a trade stipulation that doesn't currently exist. Would you do this to get Deshaun Watson if you were the Colts or the Niners or a team that is ready to win? Here's what I'll trade you, Houston. You can have my first round pick every year he's on my roster. So until we trade or cut him, if he's on my roster on draft day, you get my first round pick. You want to put a sunset on it of 2030, fine. So it maxes out at 10, whatever. But you mentioned Rodgers. Let's say the Bears 10 years ago had traded the Packers that. Hey, we'll give you our first round pick every year we have Aaron Rodgers. You give us Aaron Rodgers. It would be worthwhile. I think that's the only way the Texans could approach getting fair value for Deshaun, because if Laremy Tunsil's worth two first-round picks, Deshaun's worth eight. So I would seriously offer that if I'm a team that can win the Super Bowl and needs a quarterback. I honestly would.
Well, the Colts aren't paying anybody. T.Y. Hilton's a free agent, so DeForest Buckner, they actually could do something like that and give up four or five picks, and if I was Chris Ballard, I would do that. But it is interesting. If Khalil Mack's worth a couple, you know, then what?
Well, think about it like this. Let me just quickly. Khalil Mack, Jalen Ramsey, Jamal Adams. Those three players.
Two picks.
Would you rather have them or Deshaun? Those three guys or Deshaun? I'd rather have Deshaun.
Yeah.
So that means he's worth six because all those guys went for two. Yeah. So that means he's worth six right there. So I don't know that you can get fair value for him. He's too good.
Let me throw this at you. We were talking about this as a team this morning, that my kids should get pretty good grades. They've got stable home. They get a warm breakfast. They could, if I wanted to hire a tutor. Yep. There are kids in America sleeping in cars. There are kids in America in apartments in unsafe parts of town. Grades, should we should consider that a 4 point from a trust fund kid is not as impressive as a 3.5 from a kid in a tough environment, right? And I think about that.
Agreed.
Right. So Tom Brady's season, he drove to the stadium for 15 to 20 years in New England with the best coach, the best offensive line coach, a top six defense, Gronk, one of the best owners. That's fine. This year, he has a non-Hall of Fame coach, a coordinator, never been a coordinator. Offensive line was the weakness. Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in division. That I said this morning, I said, if he beat Green Bay, I could make the argument it's a top 2 to 3 season, if not the best season, if you consider what he overcame. You agree?
That's right. I agree with that. I agree with that, especially if we grade on the curve, a little bit of a curve because of the age. Listen, I have been predicting the demise of Tom Brady since you've known me. And damn it, I really think, like, people were like, Nick, do you want to take the Tom Brady takes back? And my answer is no, because I think they've been good takes. 2 years ago, I said he was done. And he threw a pick to end the AFC title game against my Chiefs, and I'm celebrating. And then damn D Ford's a quarter inch off sides, and they win. And then they score 13 points in the Super Bowl, and they win the Super Bowl. And then last year, I predict the end, and he throws a pick six to lose wild card weekend. And I'm like, victory is mine, finally. But then somehow he goes to Tampa, and he wasn't even great this weekend. I think you would admit he wasn't great this weekend. But I'm watching the other old quarterbacks just evaporate around him.
Yeah.
Rivers just retired. Big Ben, I think, just threw another interception. Drew Brees just threw another interception. The Manning brothers have been gone for years. And Brady's still there. He's like Jason. He won't die. And it's so frustrating. And so, yeah, if he goes into Lambeau to beat Rodgers and makes his 10th Super Bowl, then it'll be one of his most impressive seasons. I can concede that. I just wish he'd go away.
I really wish he'd go away. You know, I would say this, though, is your takes weren't bad. It's just that there are outliers. There are people that change, like, the temperature, or they change the grading scale.
Yeah.
Your take actually, that D Ford's a half inch offside and he scores 13 and wins the Super Bowl, is actually hilarious, because it's like, it did look like the end. It absolutely looked like the end.
It did. And then the next year, they lost to the Titans.
Yes.
And it was the end. And Belichick said, get out of here. And now he throws 40 touchdowns in Tampa. I can't deal with it, man.
All right.
I just can't deal with
it. All right. Before we go to the payoff of the bet, I do want to touch on Kyrie. And I just said, listen, you give me examples, and I'm good to go for any big risk. There's not a lot of Kyrie examples where you're hard to coach, injury prone, can be really difficult. Halfway through your career, light comes on and you're a joy to coach. You're never hurt and you're a leader. Like, I would move off him and I wouldn't even need a star in return. I think Harden and KD win the East with better defenders around them. I don't need points.
That's correct.
I mean, you love the NBA. You watch it. You live close to this situation happening. I would move off him for role players. Your thought on Kyrie returning?
Yeah, I think the Nets have two major issues. One is they are now relying on DeAndre Jordan to be their defensive stopper. There is no template for a team as bad defensively as this Nets team is and is going to be over the course of the year to win the title in modern NBA history, aside from the 0-1 Lakers, and the 0-1 Lakers had peak Shaquille O'Neal and entering his prime Kobe Bryant. This team ain't the 0-1 Lakers. So that's my first concern. My second concern is this. Kyrie's whole utility is ball in his hand.
Yes.
Ball in his hands. Harden, most of his utility is ball in his hands, even though he can obviously pass beautifully. Durant is the second best basketball player alive, the clear best player on this team. But because of their styles, he's the guy I think is most likely not to take a secondary role, but to take a tertiary role. I think he's the guy that could be minimized the most. So if Kyrie still had a lot of value, which I doubt that he does, but if he did, would I trade Kyrie Irving for a little rim protection and wing defense in a heartbeat? Because Durant and Harden are going to provide you all the offensive punch you need. The reason I don't think the Nets are going to get out of the East is they're going to try to win all these games the way they won the other night, 125-123, and that doesn't tend to work in the postseason.
Yeah. All right, the big payoff. We bet on the Bills' success.
Oh, I got to go.
No.
We're doing another segment?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Another segment.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to get ready. Hopefully that mustard and ketchup match your suit. Beautiful suit today. So stick around, Nick Wright.
Thanks.
More of Nick Wright paying off the bet he made quickly and without thought. That's coming
up. That's not me. That's not me right there.
But you're going to look like that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Butcher Box, by the way. Make it easy, look delicious, fan favorites on game day, delivering high-quality protein to your house. ButcherBox.com/Herd. ButcherBox.com/HERD. So Nick Wright again is joining us. Before we get to the big payoff for the bet, I do want to start with this. I thought Kansas City was really, really impressive. Every offensive possession they had with Mahomes, they scored, and except for the missed field goal. And I thought they'd be rusty, and they weren't, and it was effortless, and they didn't have a top running back and a top receiver. I acknowledge if I had heard hierarchy this morning, I would put I'm always willing to adjust. I would put him above Buffalo. I am concerned Buffalo has not even a poor running game. They don't have a running game. I do not think you can win a Super Bowl with no running game. So this morning, I would, by the way, like your take, I don't think I was wrong in December, but now I watch Kansas City come back and, okay, they flipped a switch. They're the Warriors. Okay. So let me just start with this before we get to the payoff. Yeah. One thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, some perceived it as a zany take. I said, the NFL moves games all the time. If Mahomes wasn't cleared until Monday, the NFL's a television show. You don't play until Monday. Tom Cruise gets hurt, you delay production of Mission Impossible. That's the game. Joy once went to a Beyonce concert. There was so much traffic, they delayed the concert 3 hours because nobody could get into it. That's what we do. Is it a zany take? Was I out of my gourd?
It is a zany take, but I endorse the take. I think it does. Listen, I don't like slippery slope arguments, but the only argument against your take is it starts a slippery slope to how far would you delay it. But if it's not recovery from a traditional injury, if it's simply we know when he's going to be out of concussion protocol, I would feel the same way if it was a COVID protocol situation. Now, the NFL wouldn't do it, and Mahomes is going to be able to play. Just one quick thing on the Bills before we pay off this bet, because people think I'm going to be cowed by the fact that I lost this bet. I will triple and quadruple down on this weekend's game because, Colin, you mentioned you're worried about the Bills' running game, and I get it. Hey, last week they were like, hey, Josh Allen, we're going to rely on you entirely for the first half. It's all in your hands, and he rewarded them with 3 points. But more importantly, that Bills' defense that I'm told is playing its best football of the year, the numbers lie a little bit here. In their first two playoff games, the Colts and the Ravens have gotten into the red zone 8 times. And somehow come away with 16 points.
Hmm.
The Chiefs are not going to score 2 points per red zone possession. So I think the Chiefs roll on Sunday. But Bills fans, they don't want to hear that. They just want to, whatever is about to happen is what they want. So go ahead. Let's just get it over with.
So this is it was on our show. It was a few weeks ago. And Nick was upset because I had said, I'm watching the games in December. and the Bills are a Hail Mary from like a 10-game winning streak, and they're really playing well. Now, we do know that postseasons change. Baltimore's been great in the regular season, not as good in the postseason. And I do think Buffalo, I've pulled back my love on Buffalo. They literally have no running game. And by the way, Phillip Rivers got into great field position on every possession, and he moves like a chair. So I do think this morning, Kansas City, I'd put him ahead of Buffalo. Not sure I'd put either ahead of Green Bay, but blah, blah, blah. But this is the bet we made on the air. Nick made about a month ago. Here we go.
Let's bet this. The loser has to do this in homage to the Bills Mafia on TV. If the Bills make the conference championship game or further, I will do that. And if they go one and done in the playoffs, you will do that. That's the wager.
Josh in shotgun, the pass, it is caught by Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. Lamar Jackson back to throw, guns it into the end zone, intercepted. He may go all the way. Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown. And the Buffalo Bills advance to the AFC Championship game next Sunday.
Boy, what a moment.
That was the moment.
Okay.
That pick six was the moment that I knew.
Yeah.
This was coming. So do you want me to set this up?
Yeah, go ahead. You take it
away. So I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of integrity. I've never not paid a bet in my life. When I was 12 years old, I lost $100 to my father playing pool. He made me pay him $4 a week for a year and a half. So I've learned my lesson. That's a true story. He thought it'd stop me from gambling and said it turned into me gambling all the time. So, all right, Bills Mafia. I looked everywhere for a Josh Allen jersey. I couldn't find one. I had to make a Josh Allen shirt. Just show the video. Just run the video.
All right, let's get this over with.
So dumb.
Ladies, go ahead. Go. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is it over? There's more?
You know, it actually...
Oh, God!
It actually matches his outfit.
Why aren't you holding the hot dog where it can get the condiment on it?
All right, I'm enjoying this.
Wait, watch and wait.
All right.
Wow, this is for a radio audience. This is, he appears to be somewhere in New York in an alley. A hot dog and mustard and ketchup.
We're done.
Well, you know what?
I gave him two angles, Colin. I still have mustard in my ear. I gave him two angles on it. I bought that stupid Bills hat. I made that jersey that says Bills 17. By the way, Bills Mafia, I want to say something to you. I've been hearing about this mafia for a long time. I live 4 hours south of Buffalo. Shouldn't a mafia extend far enough that I could find a Josh Allen jersey anywhere in the tri-state area? I was out shopping for 3 hours yesterday. I don't even know if you're a crime syndicate. I feel like you're more of a Bill's small corner gang if no one can buy your jerseys outside of Niagara Falls area. So I had to have that thing made yesterday. But there you go. Bet's paid off. I hope you're happy, Colin.
I am.
I hope you're happy. Did this to me.
All right. Nick Wright, first things first. Good seeing you, buddy. Great seeing you.
Yeah.
I like
you
people.
You too. See you guys.
I like people who pay off. Now. That's very funny.
Aren't you very grateful that even though you wouldn't have had to, because you were right, that I saved you from that fate?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? You know, fans are funny. So everybody's like, Colin, you're flipping your take on it. And I've always said this. If you got on a plane with a pilot and the pilot said, there's a storm ahead, do you want him to have the same course to your city or direct the plane around the storm? If a doctor said, we've got a new therapy that could save your life, would you want the doctor to use it?
Yes.
Sports fans want you to hold on to things and predictions. But if I get new information, I'm always willing to adapt. My least favorite sportscasters hold on to stupid theories that are proven wrong. Buffalo played a certain style and their flaws were not unveiled as sharply in the regular season against inferior teams. When you put them in the playoffs against the Colts O-line and the Ravens D-line, they look much more vulnerable. And this is why playoffs are so fun. Baltimore's not the same offense in the playoffs. Buffalo, defensively, not the same team. So this morning, I think Green Bay is the best team in the league, but I would put Kansas City above Buffalo because I thought Kansas City won a playoff game with Patrick Mahomes limping for two quarters and not playing for one and a half. And I was like, okay, God, that's impressive. They did something. I always am willing to move if I get new information.
It's called intelligence.
Well, that's what I call it.
It literally is. Learning new things and growing, that's intelligence. You need to learn things and update yourself, therefore updating your takes based off of new information.
Hour two. I feel so good about myself now. Hour two next.